To some it's just an emblem, a formality. It's a symbol that's been used so frequently. Many blaspheme and despise, though its ancient it abides. A shrine to death now stands for life to me. There was a cross made for the Son of God at Calvary. Two pieces of rough timber on a hill. Through his hands and through his feet, he took the nails for you and me. Angels washed as he died for the lost. Though he could have walked away, he chose the cross.
You see why this old emblem is so dear to me. It brought him suffering, yet it brought us peace. It bridged the gap for sinful men, made atonement for our sin. An icon that reminds us that we're free.
There was a cross made for the Son of God at Calvary. Pieces of rough timber on a hill. Through his hands and through his feet, he took the nails for you and me. Angels washed as he died for the lost. Though he could have walked away, he chose the cross. Cross made for the Son of God at Calvary. Two pieces of rough timber on a hill. Through his hands and through his feet, he took the nails for you and me. Angels washed as he died for the lost. Though he could have walked away, he chose a cross. Though he could have walked away, he chose the cross.
Wonderful. Well, praise the Lord. I've had a good morning already. We ought to just give the invitation. That's the gospel in a nutshell right there. Thank God we have a living Savior that loved us and cared for us, that we could be saved this morning. Can I say this to you this morning? If you know not Christ, there is an option. You see, we've been brainwashed. We've been brainwashed to believe this is the only life that exists. A life without Christ is a life of eternal separation from God. But there's a life much greater than that, that Jesus Christ died for sinners and loved us and cared for us enough so that we could be saved. That's what that song was about. He chose a cross. And he could have chose anything else, but he chose to die for you and I. I'm pumped up already, aren't you? I'm fired up. So let's get into the Bible. Acts 26. Acts chapter number 26. And again, let me say to all of our guests this morning, thank you for honoring us by your presence this morning here at Trinity Baptist Church. We do not take your visit for granted. We're so happy that you chose to be here this morning. You know, often while you're turning there, hopefully you can turn and listen at the same time. So I'm going to move quickly this morning. You know, sometimes in our lives we meet special people. And when many times you meet special people in your life, you never forget it. You know, many of us, just this past week, we had five living presidents in our city this week. That was probably a first as far as I know of. And many people went out there, got their pictures taken, and wanted to just kind of mingle because of the experience. They wanted to meet these men. If anybody's ever met a president or somebody that you would consider famous, you've never forgotten it, have you? Some of you still hadn't washed your hand. You probably still got the signature, their autograph on your hand somewhere. Probably hadn't washed that hand in a long time. But let me tell you something. When you meet somebody of importance, you never forget the acquaintance. You never forget the meeting. Can I say to you today, I'm 52 years old. At 23 years old, I met Jesus Christ. And I'm here to tell you, I've never gotten over it. I've never forgotten the experience that I had that day when I got birthed into the family of God. You know, many people in the Bible would give their testimony about their salvation experience. We're about to read one. The Apostle Paul, probably the greatest Christian outside of John the Baptist and in the New Testament, wrote many times about his salvation experience. He wasn't ashamed of Christ. And he wanted people to know what happened to him. He would tell what he was prior to Christ, and then he would show us what he is because of Christ. Would you stand with me in Acts 26? That's one of these experiences that we're about to read. The Apostle Paul has been arrested now, falsely accused, and he's on his way to Rome and to be sentenced by Caesar. And obviously we know that he was sentenced to death. But he took every opportunity at his disposal to communicate his testimony along the way. Can I say this to everyone, if you'll look up here for just a minute? Can I say that you're on your way to death as well? You're not going to live forever in this body, but your soul and spirit will live forever. One of these days, you and I will depart this life. If the Lord tarries his coming, your body will go back to the ground from whence it came, but your soul and spirit's going to go somewhere. And the Apostle Paul thought, well, if I'm heading toward my hour of death, I'm just going to communicate Jesus to everybody that I possibly can along the way. And that's what he did. So he was in front of a man, and by the way, a very powerful man, a king by the name of Agrippa. Begin reading, if you would, with me in verse number 9 of Acts 26. The Apostle says, I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Which thing I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests. And when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. In other words, he was for them being put to death. He testified against these people. He said, and I punished them oft in every synagogue and compelled them to blaspheme, and being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities. Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests, at midday, O king, I saw the way, or in the way of light from heaven, above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. When we were all fallen to the ground, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Is it hard for thee to kick against the pricks? And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, listen very carefully to verse 18, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified, listen to this now, by faith that is in me. You know what? That's a clear testimony. of what he was and what he is because of Jesus Christ. Don't turn there. Let me read you one other passage here from Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 13. The Apostle Paul says it again in his testimony. He says, who, speaking of Jesus, hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. And I want to take these verses this morning and I want to talk to you on this subject. Two kingdoms, two choices. Two kingdoms, two choices. The Apostle Paul spoke of two separate kingdoms that he was a part of. And he rejoiced to be in the latter kingdom, but he was sad to have been a participant in the previous kingdom. I want you to bow your heads for just a moment with me. Father, I ask you, please meet with us this morning in the short period of time that we have. And Lord, I pray that you'd speak to every heart this morning. I'm so grateful for our guests, and I want so desperately bad, Lord, to see the hearts moved and spirits open and your presence meet with us, we pray this morning. And then, Father, I ask that as the Word of God is preached, that you do your work, supersede the voice of this preacher, and speak to every heart. I do not know what the difficulties and trials and adversities that people are facing this morning, but Father, you know everything about every person in this building. You sent them here on purpose. You moved them to attend this service today. I pray, Lord, that it would not be in vain and that you would do the work in our hearts that needs to be done. And we'll certainly be careful to give you the glory for all that shall take place in this service today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated. Nearly 52 years ago, I was born into a land and to a kingdom of which I had absolutely no choice of being born into. When I was a child and even as an infant, I noticed that this kingdom didn't seem to bother me too much and I didn't seem to be too affected by the kingdom in which I lived. It didn't bother me a whole lot. I found out that I quickly adapted to the surroundings that I was around. I quickly, as I got older, I began to adapt to the lifestyle of this kingdom. I knew nothing else but this lifestyle in which I was born into. But as I grew, I began to realize that this kingdom in which I lived was a dictatorship. And I realized that within this kingdom, I wasn't free. I was actually a captive. I was actually a prisoner, if you will, within this kingdom. And at a very young age, I noticed that the disciples, the followers of this kingdom, began to fill my head with anti-God and anti-Christ propaganda. They began to say things like, if it feels good, do it. They began to say things like, hey, listen, don't hold back. It's okay. Do whatever you want. You don't have to listen to anybody. Well, I truly felt that I was being brainwashed to accept a life as the norm. That this life and this kingdom was the only kingdom available to me. As I began to get older, I found out a little bit about the ruler of this kingdom. I found out, first of all, that he didn't have any values whatsoever. He was anti-God, anti-Christ, anti-Bible. Listen to me. He was anti-family. He wanted you to be independent of God. He wanted your total reliance to be upon Him. And He may have even fed you the line like He fed me. Don't worry, I'll take care of you. It's okay. Hey, this kingdom may had the appearance of happiness. There were people in this kingdom that actually smiled. But I'm here to tell you today, it only had the appearance of happiness. When you begin to dig a little bit deeper, you found that there were people, a member of this kingdom, that followed this ruler that had no values. Something else I found out about him, he had no virtue. There were no morals. There was no direction. There was no love. There was no comfort. There was no care that existed there. He had no values. He had no virtues. Listen to me. He had no vision other than to destroy people. All his desire was to do was destroy lives. I found out that he became very vindictive toward those that he called his followers. He began to move in their life and his goal was to make his subjects, his followers, as miserable as he possibly could You say, how, preacher? Through lies, deceit, addictions, hate, malice, hopelessness. You say, this is an awful kingdom, preacher. An awful kingdom. And you say you were born into this kingdom? I sure was. You see, I was a captive. I was being controlled. I was a person that was being conspired against and accused constantly. I found myself constantly being tortured, tormented. I felt myself constantly being intimidated. I found out the longer that I lived in this kingdom, the more I found out how much was being withheld from me from the truth. Because the ruler of this kingdom did not want me to know the truth. He wanted me to stay suppressed. He wanted me to stay in captivity. He wanted me to continue to be a prisoner of this kingdom. I found out later that as I grew up in this kingdom, that most people call this the kingdom of darkness. A place of misery. A place of captivity. A place of hopelessness, emotionless, carelessness, worthlessness. Can I say this to you? Listen to me. I felt helpless to be able to do anything to get out of this life. I didn't see any options. A little bit later on in life, I married within this kingdom, but nothing changed. I brought 5 children into this world, loved them, cared for them, raised them, but I found out that nothing changed. Everywhere we went, we were constantly being watched. Every place my family went, we were in constant surveillance. And anything that we did that was contrary to the anti-God, anti-Christ, anti-Bible propaganda was absolutely discouraged. You know what I was told? I was told the same thing many of you were told, that nobody loves me. That nobody loves me. Nobody would have anything to do with me. And this ruler was constantly examining me and causing my faults and my failures to stay in front of me constantly. And all I ever focused on was the negative things of life. I never was allowed to look at the positive. And so I continued to be discouraged. But I constantly heard, nobody loves you. You know what else I heard? I heard, nobody cares about you. Nobody loves you. Nobody cares about you. Because if they did, you wouldn't be in this condition. Over and over I heard the followers and the disciples of this kingdom and this ruler telling me, nobody loves you and nobody cares about you. Listen, and nobody can help you. You're all alone. You're on your own. You're condemned to this lifestyle and you will die in this lifestyle. I was constantly being fed, listen to me now, this wicked propaganda over and over and over again. You see, in my family, we just assumed that this was our life and this was our destiny and that there was nothing that we could do to escape. I'd finally, at 23 years old, come to the conclusion that I would live and die captive in this kingdom, which was full of hate, hurt, harm, hopelessness. Hey, we thought it was just useless to try to fight against this prince who was in such control over all of his disciples. We learned later that he went by other names. We heard people call him by other names, such as deceiver, accuser, serpent, father of lies, tormentor, and even dragon. You say, oh, preacher, this guy must be awful. Hey, listen, follow me now because I'm going somewhere because you don't have to stay in this kingdom. But this, he was a ruler. He was a control freak. He constantly, everywhere I went, he constantly managed everything I did. Watched everything. And he was constantly feeding me things that would get me addicted. Constantly withholding the truth, but feeding me all the things that would cause addictions. I learned later that he was so powerful that many discouraged to even fight against him because they said that he could even transform himself into an angel of light. He could even change appearances and make it look like something good when it was something evil. But that his ultimate goal, I found out, was to execute all of his followers. He was looking forward to a day when he could condemn all of his followers, their soul and their spirit, to an eternity of torment in the everlasting fires of hell, where the worm dieth not and thirst is not quenched. You see, as far as I knew, I'd given up all hope that my life would ever experience anything else but this kingdom. Listen to me. Until one day, a knock came at my door. I went to the door, and I saw two men standing at that door. These were two men claiming to be the ambassadors of a totally different kingdom. And they began to talk to me about hope, which I knew nothing of, having lived in the kingdom of darkness all my life. Having been addicted to the things of this life and to sin, which was tearing me apart, tearing my home apart. And yet they told me that there was a kingdom of hope. That there was another kingdom that I could be, according to Scripture, translated into by the power of the other king. They told me of a king that loved me. They quoted me something like this, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish," listen to me, "but have everlasting life." I had never heard things like this before. All I had heard was anti-God, anti-Christ propaganda all my life. Sin had such a grip on my mind, and yet they begin to tell me of a king that loved me. Listen to me. They begin to tell me of a king that cared. That cared about my life. That was interested in what I did and my family and my job and what I thought and what I did. They quoted verses like 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 7 where the Scripture says, "Casting all your care upon me." Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. He cares. You see, all I had ever known was a king and a kingdom that cared nothing about my soul, that did nothing but feed me terrible, sinful propaganda. But they told me there was a king who ruled another kingdom that loved me. They told me that He didn't just love me, He wanted to spend time with me. He wanted to spend forever with me. They told me that there was a king that cared about my soul and cared about my family. They told me that there was a king that could help me. That He was willing to help me be translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. Because I couldn't do it myself. I tried to figure out everything. I tried to do good things. I tried to go to church. I tried to get baptized. I tried to do everything to get out of this kingdom, but could not find my way out. But they told me that there was a king that loved me, that cared about me, that could help me. They told me that their king was called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, the Savior of the world. All of this sounded like a fairy tale to me. I thought, what's happened? Have I died and gone into a Disney film? It's not Cinderella. This is not Snow White. Let me tell you something this morning, dear friend. This is real. We're talking about a real kingdom. We're talking about a real God. We're talking about the Counselor, the Wonderful God, the Everlasting Father, the Savior of the world. As I stood there listening to these things, all I'd ever heard was that nobody loved me. All I'd ever heard from the kingdom of darkness is that nobody cared. That nobody could help me. I was all alone. And yet these men spoke these words that seemed foreign to me. It sounded too good to be true. It sounded like a fairy tale. They told me that this king would bring me freedom, would bring me peace, would bring me hope to my life and to my family. They said that if I would just defect to this kingdom and become a citizen, that one glorious day, this king would provide some incredible things for me. They said if you could just defect from this kingdom and come to the kingdom of light and come to the kingdom of our dear Lord, that one day, listen, He would give me a new home. I said, what? They said, yes. Listen, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. They told me that in their father's house were many mansions. They said, if it were not so, I would have told you. They said that their king went to prepare a place for them and told them that if he would go prepare a place for them, listen to me, he said, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. You see, I'm saying, they said this king would provide me a new home. Hey, you're going to like this one. They said that one day he'd give me a new body. I said, what? They said, yeah, he'll provide a new body. I said, like what? They said, like sinlessness. Like never having to be dealing with sin again. Never having another wicked thought. Never having another desire for the addictions of this life. But having total and complete purity of mind, heart, and soul. They said it'll never get sick again. It'll never hurt again. Some of you here this morning that are fighting physical infirmities, you know what? You ought to shout for the glory of God, because this is a king that's willing to provide you a new body, a new home. And you know what he'd do? He'd give me a new purpose. You know what my purpose was in the kingdom of darkness? Me. That was my purpose. Listen, come on, help me out now. Listen, the thing about it is, if you're in this kingdom, it's all about you, right? Hey, that's all this kingdom promotes. The kingdom of darkness only promotes self. So everything I did was for me. Everything I put down my throat was for me. Everything I put in my mouth, it was for me. Some here today, all that we've ever done is put stuff in our veins and down our throat and in our bodies because it was about us. It was about how we felt. It was about what high we could reach. I'm here to tell you, there's no greater high in this world than knowing Jesus Christ. He said, you don't have to put stuff in your veins. You don't have to put something down your throat. He said, I've got something that'll come into your heart and your soul that'll give you the purity of heart and mind for eternity. Hey, I'm talking about a king that'll give you a new home, a new body, a new purpose. He said in this life, you know what? He said he'll give you some value. Hey, let me tell you something. That other kingdom, I was a nobody. I was a nobody. But when I got born into the family of God, Jesus said, no, 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 you're somebody. Hey, I'm somebody today. Hey, not because of me, but because of the king. The king that birthed me into his kingdom. He gave me some values. He provides security. Once I got in, listen to me, he told me, you can't ever go back to the kingdom of darkness. I said, what? He said, yeah. He said, once you're born into the family of God, once you get into the kingdom of God and the kingdom of light, listen to me, you can't ever go back. And I said, well, what if I sometimes slip, I fall and do things wrong? He said, I'll protect you. I'll cover you. He said, the blood of Jesus Christ provides a wall, an impenetrable wall for you, that nothing can penetrate that wall. Hey, he provides value. He provides security. He provides hope. He provides help. Hey, listen, he provides healing as well. He said, oh, preacher, I'm getting pumped up now. Where and how do I get into this kingdom? Where do I find the way? Where's the door? How do I get in? I'm going to tell you how I got in. I began to inquire with these men about how to become a citizen of this kingdom. They told me, listen now, that I had always possessed the power to leave. They said I'd always possessed, what? I'd always possessed the power. They said, yes. You always possess the power to leave and make the choice to defect. You see, the problem was it was just all the evil propaganda that had been fed me had convinced me that I couldn't leave. That I was a captive for the rest of my life and there was nothing that I could do. I discovered that the seed of believing faith in the new king had always existed in me. And it was there for me to exercise that faith toward the new king. And that citizenship, listen now, would take place immediately. As soon as I defected. As soon as I exercised faith,
the scripture says, I would be translated into the kingdom of His dear Son. You know what I decided to do that day? I decided to do that. Listen, now I didn't get into the kingdom that day, but I came to the church. I was so, my appetite was so wet for what these men had said. I just couldn't believe that there was a kingdom such as this. I had to come see it. You see, my new king would accept me now, protect me, secure me, keep me from ever, ever going back to the kingdom of darkness. He was going to provide for me. All I had to do was exercise faith. And I could defect immediately into this new and wonderful kingdom. You say, preacher, I don't know if I have enough faith. Listen to me. The scripture says, for by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. Because see, I tried that. I tried every way possible to get out of this kingdom of darkness. I couldn't do it myself. He says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You know what the new king? The new king says he can come in on invitation. And guess what he's doing this morning? He's inviting all who know not Christ to come into this wonderful, glorious, providing kingdom so that you can be loved, cared for, helped in your life. Maybe your testimony sounds a little bit about like mine. Because that's what happened to me. Two kingdoms, two choices. You're going to make that choice this morning. But I'm here to tell you, say, oh, preacher, I just don't think that God would be willing to save me. Well, let me ask you this, then who can be saved then? Do you know I have a list here? I can't even go through all of them. But I have a list here of people that Jesus saved. Did you know He saved religious people? There was a man by the name of Nicodemus in John chapter 3 that came to Jesus and asked Him, Lord, nobody can speak like this if they be sent from God. And Jesus just went straight at him and said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Man, I'm telling you, Nicodemus said, boy, I tell you, I ain't never heard anything like this. He said, you're going to have to explain. He didn't understand. He said, how can I go into my mother's womb a second time and be born? He said, I'm not talking about that. He said, I'm talking about your soul. I'm talking about the spiritual birth. He saved a religious man. Hey, He saved hardworking people. Did you notice that? You're not going to get any more hardworking than Peter was. Peter was a fisherman. That's hard work. But He saved him. Hey, He saved people that were deceivers and that stole. Yeah, Luke chapter 19 talks about a man that was a tax collector. He was stealing from the people. His name was Zacchaeus, and Jesus said, listen, come down, I'm going to your house today. And you know what? Zacchaeus that day got gloriously born again. Listen, and the reason I know he got born again, because he started giving money away. Yeah. Well, I tell you one thing, somebody get a good dose of Jesus, they'll start giving to the things of God. Hey, he said, listen, if I've taken from anybody, I'll give it back fourfold. He said, I want to be right with God. Hey, I know he got born again. He saved a woman by the name of Mary Magdalene who was possessed with devils. And listen, you find Mary Magdalene at almost every important place Jesus was. Possessed of the devil. And yet Jesus cast those devils out of her and she became a disciple of Jesus Christ. You say, oh, preacher, it's too late for me. Oh, no, 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 it's not too late. You know how I know it's not too late? Because we're not done yet. He saved somebody else right at the last moment. You see, when Jesus was crucified on Calvary that day, you know there were two other people crucified with Him? There were two other men on both sides that were thieves and robbers. Listen, you know what we would consider them today? Losers. That's what we would consider them. One of them, actually at the beginning, both of them railed on Jesus, and finally one of them said, man, listen, what if He is the Son of God? What if everything He said is true? You know what he came to? He came to a sense, he thought, man, I don't have anything to lose. I'm fixing to die. What do I have to lose? So listen, he looked at Jesus and he said, Lord, remember me. And listen, do you understand he was taking a long shot here? He was taking, listen, he just said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And listen, and Jesus looked at him. Does your Bible say that he said, no, wait a minute, I'm sorry, you haven't been baptized yet. He said, wait a minute, I got to check the rolls and see if your name was on a church roll somewhere. Come on, help me out now. Is that right, Sal? Hey, he didn't go look at a church roll. He didn't go check his baptism out. What he did was he said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Hey, let me tell you something. You don't think that thief was shouting for glory? Because just a few hours later, listen to me, my friend, he was dead. You know where he is today? He's in heaven. You say, but he didn't get baptized. Well, baptism don't have anything to do with salvation. You say, but he wasn't even a church member. Church membership don't have anything to do with salvation. You say, but he didn't do anything for God. He didn't go to church. He didn't teach Sunday school. He didn't do anything. Well, works never had anything to do with salvation. So you say, well then, how did he get born again? Same way you're going to get born again. By faith. Listen to the scripture. 1 John 5:4 says, for whosoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Even our faith. The scripture goes on to say, who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? And this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He said, boy, I want to get into this kingdom. I can't wait. When is it going to happen? It can happen today. But you're going to have to exercise something. First of all, you're going to have to understand that you are a participant of the kingdom of darkness. That you have sinned against the kingdom of light. And that sin has separated you from him. And if you don't do something about it, it'll be forever. And there's an awful place, the scripture teaches, that those who have rejected the kingdom of light and decided to stay in the kingdom of darkness will spend all eternity. You will spend eternity with the prince of darkness. For all eternity, without God forever. But I'm here to tell you, the kingdom of light has provided a way. Yeah, he's provided a way. He gave his only begotten Son that you and I, our sins were taken upon him so that we could be saved. And listen, when he shouted on the cross, it's finished, that's exactly what he means. It's over. He didn't make a down payment, my friend. He paid it all that day. That's our avenue, that's our door, that's our window of opportunity to get into the kingdom of light. But you're going to have to come and you're going to have to exercise something the Bible calls faith. You say, oh, preacher, I don't think I have enough faith to trust Jesus this morning. Well, I'm going to prove you wrong right now. Everybody looking up here and I'm done. Okay? See this bottle of water right here? This bottle of water was purchased. And I noticed here that we bought this bottle of water, but I notice it's not even open. Now, Brother Haymans, I'm looking at this one. It looks like water, right? But how do you know it's water? Have you tasted it?
I have.
Did you open it? Okay, so he's going to trust Ozarka that there's water in here? You say, oh, preacher, come on, anybody with half sense can see that's water. Is that right? But you know, I know a lot of liquids that are clear just like water that'll kill you. You say, well, how in the world do we know that it's water? By faith. See, you exercise faith all the time. You just don't realize it. You see, when we bought this bottle of water, we exercised faith. Hey, when I got in my car this morning, put the key in, turned, drove to church, you know what I exercised? I exercised faith. I have the ability to exercise that faith and put it only in Jesus Christ this morning. You see, you say, oh, preacher, how do you know there's water in there? Well, the scripture says faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You say, how do we know there's a heaven? Because the Bible said there was. How do we know there's a mansion? Because the King said there was. How do we know there's going to be a new body? How do we know there's going to be a new purpose? Because the King said it was. And listen to me this morning. You know how I know this is water? Because Ozarka said it was. There it is. Guess what it is? It's water. Hey, let me tell you something. You don't have to taste everything or see everything to exercise faith. You can come this morning and exercise that faith in Jesus. I'm just asking, there's two kingdoms and there's two choices. Which one are you going to make this morning? Would you bow your heads for just a moment? heads bowed, eyes closed. No one's looking this morning. No one moving about. Please listen carefully. I stood this morning and tried to present to you a testimony. I've lived this testimony. I know what it's like to be a part of the kingdom of darkness. I know what you're struggling with this morning if you know not Christ. I know the guilt. I know the things that you feel this morning. Maybe if you're here this morning and addictions have a hold on you, I know how you feel. I'm here to tell you, please, please don't leave this morning. Don't remain in the kingdom of darkness this morning. Would you be willing to come to the kingdom of light? Would you be willing to be born into the kingdom of His dear Son? Say, oh, preacher, I would. More than anything, you don't understand all the things I'm going through, preacher. Well, the good thing is I don't have to, but Jesus does. And He's willing to give you eternal life. He's willing to welcome you with open arms because He loves you. He cares about you. And this morning, He wants to help you to grow in every aspect of your life. With heads bowed and eyes closed, who would be honest this morning and say, preacher, I need prayer. I haven't been born into the kingdom of light. I know not about the kingdom that you're talking about, that kingdom of peace. I don't have any peace. Maybe this morning that you have been born like I was into that kingdom of darkness and sin has a hold on you. And you'd say this morning, preacher, pray for me. I don't know for sure that if I died today that I'd go to be with the Lord and enter into that wonderful and glorious kingdom. But you say, preacher, I want to. It's not that I don't want to be saved. I do want to be saved. You say, but preacher, I've got some doubt about where I'm going to spend eternity. Would you be honest today? We're in church. Would you be honest and say, preacher, please pray for me. Would you slip your hand up, let me pray for you? And you say, preacher, that's me. That's me. I don't know for sure if I died, I'm going to heaven, but it's not that I don't want to be, preacher. I do want to be. God bless you. Just slip it up so I can see it. God bless you and you and you and you. God bless you. You can put your hands down. Anybody else, God bless you and God bless you. Anybody else say, preacher, if I died today, I'm not sure that heaven's my home. God bless you. God bless you. Buddy, anybody else, just slip it up and say, preacher, I need prayer. In the balcony, just slip your hand way up high. God bless you and God bless you. Anybody else, God bless you and you. Anybody else, you can slip your hands down. Anybody else in the balcony, God bless you and God bless you and God bless you as well. And you and you and you. Anybody else, just slip it up. God bless you, my brother. Anybody else will join these probably 15 or 20. God bless you and God bless you as well. You can put your hands down. Anybody else to say, preacher, that's me. That's me. If I died today, I'm not sure that heaven's my home. I want to go so bad. Anybody else in the balcony, just slip it up so I can see it. Slip it up. God bless you. You can put your hand down. Anybody else? All right. God bless you, ma'am. God bless you. God bless you, buddy. You can put your hand down. One last time, anybody, God bless you, my friend. I see your hand there. Anybody else will join probably 15 or 20 people that raised their hand. God bless you. God bless you. There's 22 right there. Anybody else, just slip it up. Slip it up and say, preacher, I need prayer. I don't know if I die that I'm going to be born or that I'm going to enter into the kingdom of heaven. I don't know that I'm going to be welcomed by the King. It's not that I don't want to, preacher. It's just I just don't know. I just don't know. Anybody else? All right, maybe you're here this morning. And you would say, preacher, I'm serious. If I raise my hand, preacher, I'm serious about my soul. I'm not going to die and go to hell for anybody. And I've been tormented in my life, and maybe you've been struggling in your life. Here, listen to me. This morning, I want to introduce you to a King that's willing to welcome you and give you hope and care about your soul and help you. Now listen, I'm going to pray. For those of you that raised your hand, listen very carefully as I pray, Father. Those that lifted their hands just a moment ago, probably 15, 20, maybe 25 is or more, that raised their hand and said they wanted to be born into the family of God. I pray that today, oh my Lord, please, would you move in their heart, would you move in their life and give them the courage to act upon the faith which you have already instilled in their heart this morning, and that today would be the day that they defect from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. Give them the strength to do so this morning, please. Now with heads bowed and eyes closed, no one's looking around. For those of you that raised your hand, here's what I don't want anybody looking. Just the ones that raised your hand. If you raised your hand, I want you to look right up here at me. Only those who raised your hand, I want you to look right up here at me. Listen to me. I can't see everybody or make eye contact with everybody, but I'm going to ask you, did you mean what you said? When you raised your hand, did you mean what you said? Are you serious about your soul? Then here's what I'm going to ask you to do. If you're serious about your soul, I want you to stand up right where you are, because I've got somebody that's going to take the Bible and show you how to be born into the family of God. If you're serious about it, just stand up. Stand up. Those of you that are altar workers, those of you that know how to win somebody to Christ, I want you to find these people. Just stand up. Stand up right where you are. Stand up. Stand up. If you mean it, stand up. Stand up. Did you mean it back here? Did you mean it? Did you mean it? Come on. Come on. Come on. If you mean it, just stand up right where you are. We're talking about your soul. We're talking about eternity here. Anyone else? Just stand up. Here's a lady right here, Mrs. Havens, right there. Anyone else? Anyone else? Come ahead. Just stand up right where you are. We'll take somebody in the Bible, from the Bible, and show you. Those of you in the balcony, just stand up right where you are. Listen, we're talking about eternity here. Do you want into the kingdom of light? Hey, do you want to get involved with this king I'm talking about? It's going to give you a new home, a new life, a new purpose. Come on. Nobody's looking but me. Nobody's looking but me. We ought to be praying. If you meant business, come on. Just stand up. Stand up. We'll have a lady. If you're a lady, we'll have a lady talk to you. If you're a man, we'll have a man talk to you. Anybody else in the balcony? Anybody else? Anybody else? All right. All right. Let's bow our heads once again, please. Nobody's looking. I wonder how many tonight or today would say, "Preacher, I'm already a Christian. I've already been born into the family of God, but I've never been baptized after I got saved. I know it's the right thing to do. I know I ought to obey God. Please, preacher, pray for me. I am a believer, but I've never been baptized after I got saved. Pray for me." I want you to slip your hand way up high and say, "That's me. That's me. That's me." You say, "I've already been saved, preacher. Never been baptized after I got saved. I've already become a Christian, but I've never followed the Lord in believer's baptism." Anybody else in the balcony? Just slip it up and say, "Preacher, pray for me. I've already been saved, never been baptized." Anybody? Anybody else? All right? God bless you. God bless you. Now, one last thing. Listen very carefully, and we're going to move on. Maybe you're here today and you say, "Preacher, I'm a Christian, but my life is not right with God. I need to shore up my relationship with my Savior. I'm a Christian, but my life is not right. Please pray for me." I want you to slip your hand way up high and say, "That's me, preacher. I'm a believer. I'm a Christian, but my life is not right with God, and it needs to get right with God today." Today. Wonderful. Wonderful. Now, with heads bowed, eyes closed, Father, take care of this invitation, we pray. Do it, we pray today, in the name of Jesus. For it's in His name we pray over this congregation today. Those that need to come get baptized, I pray that they would come. Those that raise their hands said they needed to be saved, that today would be the day of their salvation. Please, Lord, let it be. And those who need to get right, that they would fill these altars, Father, this morning, with their family, friends, and getting right with God. Have thine own way, we pray in Jesus' name. Now, with heads bowed, eyes closed, I'm going to ask everyone to stand to our feet. The instruments are going to begin to play. And as they begin to play, we're going to begin to sing a chorus. And listen, as we sing, you can come now. If you didn't raise your hand or you didn't make the decision just a moment ago, now's the time. Now's the time. Oh, listen, the King's calling. The King's calling this morning. He wants you to come into the kingdom of light. Would you come? Would you come? Are you tired of being in the kingdom of darkness? Are you tired of being pounded by sin? Are you? Are you tired of it? How tired of it are you? Would you come and let the King of glory birth you into the family of God? Oh, we have a bunch of people already that are coming, being led to Christ. Come on. We're going to continue to sing. Come on, if you're in the overflow room or if you're in the cry room, come on. Hey, we'll wait on you if you're back here. If you're in the cry room, we'll wait on you. If you're in the overflow room, we'll wait on you. We want you to be saved. We want you to get born into the kingdom of light. Come on. Come on, we'll wait. We'll wait. This is an opportunity. Are you satisfied with your condition? Are you satisfied with your life? Oh, I hope not. We can all nurture our relationship with the Lord more. Come on, He's going to keep singing. We're talking about your soul. Hey, once we're done, this may be forever for you. It may be eternity for you. Don't pass up the opportunity. Don't pass up the chance God's given you. Doesn't matter whether you're a young boy, young girl. Doesn't matter whether